Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Here we go, 5 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company. We got our buddy Arash, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas coming up. He's actually on a business trip slash vacation. I will not say where until he comes on. But I will have some vacation-centric questions for him.
He was in Louisville.
It's a little better than Louisville.
That's where he was. Saw photos from there.
702-364-1100 is the Findlay Kia text line. 702-364-1100. Lots of good text up here. Someone earlier requesting more hot dog talk, more hot dog contest, more of the discovery that you made via Twitter. Picture of someone making the ultimate hot dog, a hot dog. The bun is an Olive Garden breadstick. Still throws it. It really got us off to a weird start. We really couldn't catch our breath for like the next 40 minutes. Findlay Kia text line, 702-364-1100. Send in any comments on what we discussed earlier, which includes Bronny and what's going to happen in the draft, what's going to happen with LeBron and the Lakers, and Arash will fill us in with his opinion on that. Is there something going on today with Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, I was just
going
to ask if we can we get Amazon Prime in studio? Is that possible? Is it possible in these
studios? Just start laughing even before you can finish it. You know the answer.
Of course.
Maybe. Yeah.
Kendrick did a pop-up show at the Forum in L.A., and apparently it's already just going crazy. My phone just won't. I might have to charge my phone at some point. Like, texts are just flying.
You have threads in your text with very different groups of people.
Very different.
Yes.
I travel in many circles.
I know you do. I was just thinking of maybe the one of your more active text threads, and I'm like, it ain't them asking about Kendrick Lamar.
No.
Especially on this day. I'm sure they're all holed up and pissed off.
Sure. Well, I also like to, you know, I like to keep tabs on a lot of different groups of people to find out what the different vibes are from different groups of people about different things, different topics.
Tonight, Aces are in town, trying to get on the winning track, trying to get healthy. Chelsea Gray expected to log her first time on the court. It's the Storm. They're good.
Yeah.
6:30 pregame on ESPN Las Vegas, 7 p.m. tip. I'll look for get-in prices ASAP, see what you can get in for tonight at the MUA. Mick Ultra Arena. Dana White doing some media. Griffin, running the show, was telling us Dana White going on Club Shay Shay.
Yeah, he's done a couple podcasts in the last week. Obviously, before he heads over to Saudi Arabia, I think he's on the way now over there for the card on Saturday. I don't think he'll be doing it. I know there was a public offer from His Excellency to bury the hatchet with a certain media member while they're in Saudi Arabia. I don't think that's going to happen, but I know that offer was made.
What excellency? What?
His Excellency. He was the king of boxing.
Oh, okay.
Wants to bury the hatchet with between.
He wants to be a peacemaker. You're talking about Turki Alaşik?
Yeah.
He wants to be a peacemaker between.
He publicly made
Dana
an offer.
Dana White and media member who Ariel Helwani?
Yeah, he made an offer. He's apparently flying Ariel this week and.
Stop!
And
is
he wants him to sit down. I thought.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This guy's a character. I'll leave that open. That could be any of the three people we talked about.
Sure. I don't think it's going to happen.
Which part? The media member being flown on the dime of Turki Alaşik?
No, I don't think the I don't think the meeting will be held. Just
no,
a guess.
I don't see that happening. Did Michael Chandler announce, I'm going to be at UFC 303? Watching.
You did.
I feel so bad for him.
So did he sign the contract to be there? He's going to be there.
He's probably got appearances International Fight Week, correct?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
But he's the guy who got bumped again off a card because of Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
But Adam, can I go as far as saying will you claim? Nah, I guess you can't do it. There was a lot of people were freaking out when the fight got canceled. And they're like, that's it. Conor's done. You feel comfortable in saying he's going to come back? If he wants to.
I don't feel confident saying he's actually going to step in a cage.
Oh, really? You think it's more likely
he'll announce a fight? Sure.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
Are you suggesting he's coming back for another sport, another combat sport?
No, I'm saying they'll announce, the UFC will announce a fight. Whether he takes it, who knows? I mean, I'm sure they'll announce another fight.
All right.
He'll, you know, tweet that he's coming back, and then they'll announce something, and maybe he will, maybe he won't.
It's almost like he's got his own special rules.
It's almost, and it's also almost like he makes money from being in the headlines.
Yeah.
And doesn't actually have to fight.
That too.
Yeah.
Special rules to open the 5 o'clock hour. Is there a new rule with Tiger Woods?
There is. And I don't love it. I mean, as much as...
And you love Tiger.
I do.
And you try to squeeze Tiger stuff on the show all the time.
Yeah.
People don't even realize how much you love Tiger.
And I barely watch golf if Tiger's not playing. But I don't like this. The PGA Tour has created a special new sponsor exemption that only applies to Tiger Woods. It's available for Tiger to compete in the 8 signature events that feature limited fields, increased prize money, and FedEx points. Because he has won 82 times on the PGA Tour, but he's not playing enough competitive golf to qualify for these events, he wasn't going to be able to be in. The tour said, based on exceptional lifetime achievement, end quote, Tiger's allowed to play in these tournaments. Look, if you have a rule, you have a rule. Sorry. And there's a reason that the rules are in place. It's to make sure that the fields are the top fields. You don't make special rules.
But they haven't had exemptions forever.
Sponsor exemptions, but not for these tournaments because they're too competitive and too prestigious. So they don't really apply. Only to Tiger Woods. And when you make a rule and say, this only applies to one person, that's not a good rule.
Damn, you're a stickler.
It sucks.
Okay. There's been some good investigative journalism done by your paper. Most of it was pulled by USA Today in a story. So I got to look at what your writer's name is.
Callie Lawson Freeman.
And she's very much into the WNBA.
Yeah.
And I saw her tease at the beginning of the week that the story was coming out. I saw some details. I have a lot more questions.
Yeah.
But the investigation was into?
The payments that are being made to the Aces players by the LVCVA.
Yeah, they had cut a deal. They'd set aside $1.2 million for a sponsor deal. And then Steve Hill, when he mentioned it, it didn't really seem like they were asking too much from the Aces for their cut. There are questions about who gets it, how long do you have to be on the roster, what exactly do they have to do to promote the Vegas brand. LVCVA is a taxpayer and other funded organization. We were intrigued by, hey, what's happening here? What's in this deal? So she did a deep dive on it.
Yeah.
Finding out.
A ton of details that came out. Now, as well as she did the story and as deep as she dove on it, as many things as she had, there's still those details open more questions. And I think that's what the investigators will be asking about.
Yeah. And WNBA opened an investigation, and then a lot of people reacted by, oh, they just hate the Aces. I don't think most people around the country realize where the money's coming from and what the LVCVA is. And they probably shouldn't. But if you're going to speak on a subject, you might want to be educated on where the money's coming from.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what the LVCVA right now is doing is a much better job than they were doing a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because they heard what the complaints were,
right,
and said, well, let's start answering questions with answers, right, to those problems.
And that's all we were asking for.
Well, it is, but you wanted those answers to be at the beginning, because now it just sounds like you're covering your tracks. That's one of the problems.
Oh, it does.
Well, when one of the biggest problems, and one of the reasons this investigation is even open, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, is because of what was said when the deal was announced. Yeah. They told the players, all you have to do is play.
Yeah. Don't,
that's a direct quote.
Don't really do anything.
Just play.
Yeah.
Now, that's a problem.
Yes.
That is a problem. It can't be just to play. If the money is just to play, this is a violation. Can't be that.
A violation
of the salary cap.
Of the WNBA salary cap.
And also, part of this is, part of what came out from Callie's story is that the LVCVA first had to do a deal with the Aces, because they wouldn't be able to use the name, the images of the Aces logo and the team name in promotional materials if they didn't have a deal directly with the Aces. So they did that deal first. And then they said then they went to the players and did a deal that, you know, outside of the realm of the Aces that the Aces didn't know about. Well, how did they not know about it if you did a deal with them first in order to make this happen? That just doesn't make sense. It's not an absolute guilt. You can't say, well, you're guilty right there. But I would have a lot of questions if I was an investigator to say, so during the course of this deal with the Aces, you never mentioned, oh, we're also going to pay your players? That wasn't part of that? Because then that becomes a problem. So, like, there are all these things along the way. They're also now, they said they had signed the deals. It sounds like they hadn't signed the deals. They had signed maybe letters of intent or at least notified agents what was going to happen. The fact that we are just now trying to figure out how players are paid when they're not on the roster the whole year leads me to indicate there was no deal signed or no deal agreed to. That seems to be a problem.
Yeah, what does Fair want? Yeah. It was a draft pick, was around, and then was abruptly released.
That should be spelled out in the contracts that were signed before the deal was announced, right?
Tiffany Hayes get a full cut?
Should be in the contract that was signed before the deal was announced, right?
Okay. It's got to be a paper trail.
Has to be.
Yeah. Well, reiterate, this is not the WNBA singling out the Aces.
No. And the Aces.
And here's the other problem is, if it is salary cap circumvention, guess who's laid that path in the past?
The Aces.
The Aces. They've had issues. So it's not the league. I'm sure it's simply other owners and management teams who are like, wait, what's happening now?
Yeah. And I'm sure they called the league and said, they announced the deal saying all they had to do was play. Can we do that for our players? Can we have somebody pay our players to just play? Sounds like that'd be a violation if we did it.
Yeah.
And the Aces, as much as they're, you know, hey, we're targeted, we're, you know, they want to play the victim, and I get it. Like, if you're the champions, it probably helps you, probably drives you eventually when the playoffs start. One more thing you can use as motivation. But you should be applauding this. You know what other teams doing this? So look into what we did. Find what we did was okay or not. If it's not, then we'll probably have to find a new way to do it. But they'll still get paid. They'll just find a new way to make it happen. And then other teams can't do this. You should be applauding the investigation.
Does everyone understand what Adam's saying right now?
Probably not. Nobody ever listens to a real thing.
We know how fans are. But also people who are in the situation, I think if you presented to them, like if you told Asia Wilson, hey, there is a possibility Steve Cohen and his hedge fund might buy the Liberty and Steve Cohen might have the Mets sponsor the Liberty. Each player gets $1 million. Just play.
Yeah.
Push the Mets.
And
just play. We'll have a Mets patch on your jersey, which is a league deal, but whatever. Right. I'm sure they could find a way to circumvent it with – I don't know how many companies that guy is a piece in.
Yeah.
He's the richest owner in baseball because there are people out there who are – hell, we're going to get into it in a little bit. Like, I don't know how much the Buss family has and what the Lakers have. Like, are the Lakers in a weird situation where, like, we don't have $15 million a year to pay a coach? There's different levels now. Yeah. Come on now. We haven't talked about it yet, but I didn't know who the owner of the Pistons was. I started looking them up. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, $65 million? Just lay it on the table for Monty Williams to fire him. The guy's got it. Like there's a new level of the super rich. So long story short, you could have another owner. Hell, it could be someone from a team that been that successful. Just goes, I want to win.
Yeah, and
do then outspend Mark Davis, outspend the Las Vegas market, and form the best team in the league.
Yeah, we're gonna have the Olympic team except for you. We're gonna take your teammates off your team. Asia, are you okay? And again, I don't want to single out Asia Wilson. She's unbelievable. She's the best player in the world.
She was vocal early on, thinking that it was just like a hater thing from the
WNBA.
If
the Mets are to buy, as in your scenario, the Mets are to buy the Liberty, and Cohen decides we're gonna pay all these players a sponsorship deal of whatever $10 million each, and we're taking Kelsey Plum, we're taking Chelsea Gray, we're taking Jackie Young, then we're taking Caitlin Clark, whatever, whoever you want to say, we're gonna take all the best players and we're gonna pay them. Go ahead and try to beat us in a championship. She gonna be cool with it? Probably not. So you should welcome the investigation. Especially if you did it on the up and up. Now, I would imagine there probably is some things that weren't done on the quote unquote up and up because they didn't know.
Right.
It was more like, hey, I do believe This was a deal that was all well intentioned. Hey, we want to pay these players. We'd like to give them some money. We'd like to reward them. We'd like to them to be on our side and promote Vegas. Awesome. How can we make that happen? Well, this has never happened before. We've never done something like this. There was probably a lot of mistakes made that broke rules. Probably. Not on purpose. Just because nobody's done it. It's a completely new thing. So do the investigation. Figure out what you can and can't do. Make the deal the way that you want to make it. And then make sure it's under the compliance of the rules. Figure out what the rules are. And then move forward. But welcome the investigation.
Did you see the evaluation story about the Aces?
I did.
$160 million?
Yeah.
What did he buy it for?
Two, I believe.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
When he's looking at all this, right? Do you think he's like, okay, mission accomplished. I'm out.
Then he got two titles.
I mean,
I think he loves it. I mean,
you're clearing $100 million plus. I mean, I'm sure he's had losses over the years. I'm sure.
Well, also, he's made so much on the Raiders, too.
Right.
But I think
you think this is a
the part for him,
look, is something that's fun.
And he also built the facility right next to the Raiders facility, so we can do it all together at the same time.
So
he doesn't have to go anywhere else.
It's a lot of money, though. That's a hell of a profit. That's a hell of a profit.
It would be.
And for these headaches, because he was really, and Mark Davis was really annoyed when the word investigation was used in the first place.
Yeah. But, I think he truly loves it. He definitely loves going to the game. He has Raiders players out there all the time. Like, I think he just enjoys doing this.
He is a dream as an owner.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they got to get it buttoned up on both sides a little bit, but he wants to win.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for from your owner. Just unstoppable freaking drive, and Foley's like that too. You know, I want to win. Now, sometimes MD gets a little too emotional. He's too connected to the team, but he's always trying.
Yeah. That's all you want. Somebody cares and is willing to invest, and he has been.
All right, special rules number three. Reports of the NFL owners discussing a quarterback salary cap. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. NFLPA and DeMora Smith is rolling over in his grave.
Still alive.
He's still alive, yes. It's only for special occasions. I will use it 53 times a year, but this is a special one. What is happening here?
I've been lobbying for this for running backs. So I think they're talking about the wrong position.
What you want is the running backs to get a really good deal than their first deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get paid earlier and not have it count against the cap. It's like, hey, look, you pay these guys to reward them because you're going to beat the hell out of them.
Right.
And then not pay them when their contract's up.
Right.
It's garbage. It's unreal how they're treated. But teams are also doing the right thing when it comes to a cap. So find a way to get them rewarded earlier. And not punish teams for doing it.
Is this just a cap on the quarterback room? Or is it a cap on the max a quarterback can make per year? All quarterbacks can make per year?
It's in the very early stages.
I think it's in the very dead stages.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what would happen if they really try to push this.
It's the whole thing. Because, I get they're looking at the top end and saying, look, a lot of these guys are getting this much money. But that's team building. That's strategy. It's part of it.
Yeah.
If you're not including the quarterbacks in the salary cap, or you're changing the cap rules for the quarterback, that's completely throwing out the strategy of trying to build a team.
Mm-hmm.
And do you spend a lot on a quarterback or not a lot on a quarterback? It absolutely changes the dynamic of the league.
The way you combat this is when you're the Jaguars and you're negotiating with Trevor Lawrence, and you're like, "Hey, here's all the data. I know the top quarterbacks the top quarterback makes $55 million. We'll give you short of that. We'll give you $44 million." And he got $200 million guaranteed. Here's $120 guaranteed. Take it or leave it. And then see if Trevor Lawrence goes on the open market and can get $44 million a year. I think that would show a lack of discipline by other teams. I'm not asking for collusion, but I don't believe every one of these quarterbacks. I don't believe Purdy and Lawrence could hit the open market and get $45 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tua could. Maybe. Thin Tua looks better. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
but that is part of the strategy. Don't give them just because. What's Trevor Lawrence's leverage? It's gonna be five teams willing to offer him $45 million a year instead of 55.
Potentially, teams that the Raiders probably should.
No, they shouldn't.
They probably
should. You know that's not right.
The Raiders
you would kill that deal.
Yeah, but right now, like, they've built a team that's ready to go, except for quarterback. Like, I still believe they should try to trade for Kirk Cousins right now.
Okay.
Like, do something.
Well, you know my plan, and they didn't do it. Well, now, I don't know if he was available, but I thought, you know, buy low with Kyler Murray. But that didn't happen.
Yeah. But the only thing that I can even possibly think of why, because from what I understand, there's really no traction at all for this.
A quarterback but, salary cap.
Well, the issue is there's one owner that really matters. He's got a quarterback deal coming up.
Oh, bud. I mean, come on. How obvious is this one?
Yeah. I mean, if you are wondering what I mean, Jerry Jones has Dak Prescott coming up. They're in a really, really tough spot of what to do.
And this is where when he flexes his muscle all the time and brags about how impressive he is, this is where the other owners do need to group up and go, no.
Yeah.
Take your medicine, man. You mismanaged this. We're not putting in a cap to help you for botching things the last 3 years.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Must be nice, right, Adam Hill? Must be nice. Be a member of the media. A lot of traveling. Actually, we do a lot of traveling. Glamorous vacations. Calling them work trips. Arash. Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas has a lot of sandwiches named after him. He's up with Cofield and Company. Arash, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I mean, are you just going to buy a place in Hawaii now? I see we just tweeted out a picture of you almost laughing at Adam Hill. Your glee in the water is just, it's wonderful.
You know, I mean, when we started the Sporting Tribune, we said Southern California, Las Vegas, and Hawaii. We're really serious about Hawaii. So meeting with the staff out here ahead of the Mountain West Media Day, which I'm sure you guys will be at, but we'll have a pretty strong contingent out there as well. So, listen, as you know, the connection between Vegas and Hawaii, the Ninth Island. So, doing some work out here in Hawaii.
Your staff meeting included a bottle of wine right on the water?
Yeah, listen, these meetings, you know, you got to get the conversation going, crack open a bottle of Camus, let the good ideas flow.
Are you actually going to head up a Hawaii broadcast at Mountain West Conference Media Day? Because I'll be honest with you, you're showing, not to challenge you, but you're set at last year's Mountain West Conference Media Day. It wasn't super impressive.
Listen, you don't need a big setup these days,
right?
As you know. So we will have a microphone. We may even have two microphones. We have two laptops. So that's pretty much it. No big sets.
Okay. I like it. I like the confidence there, you know. They know me, Arash, come over. I don't need all the bells and whistles. I need all the bells and whistles. Okay. I saw your reaction, and we want more reaction, of Celtics win number 18, leaving the Lakers in the dust. We had Caleb Herring on, who's a big Lakers fan from SoCal. He already started on this one. I got to tell you, this narrative of, you know, you've got 18 Celtics, but you really don't have as many as us in recent times as a Lakers fan. I don't know. A little shaky, Arash.
Here's the thing. I mean, I think people misread that as thinking that I'm trying to disparage titles previous to 1977. It's just a different league. You know, post, you know, when the league merged, post they, you know, implemented the three-point line, it's a different league. So post-1977, the Lakers have 11 championships. The Celtics have 5. And if you even want to take it down, you know, further than that, the Celtics have won twice since 1986. So, listen, kudos to them on winning a title. The majority of their championships came during a time period where the league was just simply different. And if people don't agree with that, I really don't know what to say. But it just wasn't the same league back then.
Would you be making this case if the situations were reversed?
Probably not. No, I would probably – no. But for real, like – One of the arguments that Celtics fans have is, like, they won 5 championships in Minnesota. Well, Lakers fans don't really care about those championships. In fact, they don't hang a banner for each individual one. They have one banner for the championships that they won back there. In fact, that banner was put up within the last, you know, 15 years or so. I mean, that just happened recently. So I'm just saying, since I've been alive, which is really when sports really began in my mind, the Lakers have 11 championships, and the Celtics only have 5.
Who is coaching the Lakers?
It looks like it'll be J.J. Redick, unless the Pistons want to pay him more money than the Lakers. this is fascinating to me how this whole situation has played out. And when I was talking to Steve last week, I mean, like the whole Dan Hurley thing made no sense. I mean, like, if you really were serious about Dan Hurley, I mean, you had plenty of time to talk to him when your season came to a close. So, listen, they, no matter what happens, they don't look great here. This is not the first time they've not looked great when it comes to coaching hires. A couple of 4 or 5 years ago when they hired Frank Vogel, they talked to Monty Williams. They talked to Ty Lue. They lowballed both those guys. They basically said, we'll pick your coaches, and both of them turned the job down, and they went with Frank Vogel. So I think it'll be J.J. Redick, but the fact that we're here still talking about this is a problem.
It's absurd. It's totally absurd. And I know you've defended Jeannie Buss and her money. Are you sure on this? Are you sure?
Wait, no, hold on. I didn't defend her. What I said is people are very quick to basically say that she needs to sell. I mean, they have not had a problem in terms of payroll. This is not a Frank McCourt situation where she can't afford to pay LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And, I mean, like, that was, like, legit a problem with Frank McCourt. He couldn't make payroll. Like, that's not a problem with Jeannie. Do I think that they need to spend more when it comes to a head coach? Yeah, but listen, the fact of the matter is the offer they made to Dan Hurley was a fair one for a guy who has never coached before. And by the way, very clearly now that he's gone on this press tour and he's done every sit-down morning show, like, he was never serious about that job. But that, you know what, I blame the Lakers. I do not blame Dan Hurley. Like if the Lakers allow you to use them for recruiting, I would do the same thing. Why the Lakers put themselves in that position is beyond me.
We opened with the Celtics winning number 18, Lakers sitting at 17. Is one of the reasons the Lakers maybe aren't as competitive as they need to be is because of who they've become or who they are? I saw a lot of people thought what they did for Jerry West wasn't enough. I saw Gary Vitti, what former trainer, post here saying that you know, recent decisions the Lakers have made, including their treatment of Jerry West, currently makes it hard to root for the franchise.
Yeah, listen, it's sad what happened with Jerry West and the Lakers, where he finished his career with the Clippers, and they really did not treat him with the proper respect that you should. And not only a Hall of Fame player, but a Hall of Fame executive for that franchise as well. And Gary's not wrong. In fact, Gary is someone that I know very well. We live near each other in the South Bay. He's bummed at what the franchise has become. Under Dr. Buss, they were a very loyal franchise, and that has not been the case over the past 10, 15 years. And they're struggling to have an identity. I mean, the one thing that I did like about the potential for Dan Hurley is that they were going to give him a long-term contract and basically say, like, this is our coach for the next, you know, 10 years. I mean, the fact that they have not had a coach who's coached longer than 3 seasons since Phil Jackson, I mean, that's another problem. Like, there's no stability right now there.
At Sporting Trib up on Twitter, he's the CEO, Arash Markazi, is hanging out in Hawaii. Life is nice for him. I don't know, man. Going back to what you said, I do know. I know where I'm going. 90 seconds ago about they don't have a coach, the little chuckle after J.J. Redick. Doesn't it seem there's a lot more going on behind the scenes with LeBron and maybe AD and the future, and if this is going to be a LeBron hire, if it's going to be for the future? It's the whole thing is weird.
It is, just because, listen, there's no reason for this thing to have dragged on for as long as it did, for the whole Dan Hurley thing to, like, pop up out of literally nowhere and evaporate within a couple of days. It's just the moves being made by a franchise that doesn't have any direction. And that is a problem. Listen, if you want to blame Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka for that, I totally agree with that. So, that is concerning when you're trying to figure out, you know, what is the direction of this franchise. I don't know if they know, and we won't really know until they hire a coach, and then when they do, they'll have a press conference. But, you know, to what details that they'll get to this journey for them actually hiring the coach, it's been a very mismanaged process. I'll just say that.
WNBA team in L.A. with just terrible news with the Sparks and Cameron Brink.
So sad for Cameron Brink. I mean, not only was she having a great rookie season, she was going to be part of Team USA at the Olympics with these 3-on-3 team, and that really meant a lot to her. And obviously, that's not going to happen. So just really bummed. I mean, this was a team in the Sparks that wasn't going to be a playoff team. But I think when you looked at the future of this franchise with Rekia Jackson, Cam Brink, I think everyone was very excited about the future. I mean, no silver lining for Cam, but, you know, if the Sparks kind of tank and they obviously, like, maybe they get the number one pick and Paige Buchers goes there, maybe that'll, help them for next season. But Cam Brink will be back. Just really kind of bummed just because she was having such a great first year.
Shouldn't that be the entire focus for the franchise the rest of the year?
Tank?
Well, I think you kind of have to tank at this point. I mean, this team's not going to go anywhere. So play Rekia Jackson. We'll let her shoot as many times as possible. I mean, she was coming off the bench to begin the season, which made no sense. So now you will play her more, and they're not going to win a ton of games. We kind of knew that going into the season. But, yeah, I mean, I would definitely tank for Paige Buckets and see what she does. Juju Watkins, of course, is not going to be able to come out. She's got another year following this season at USC. But, listen, if you can get the top pick in the draft, I think that has to be the focus. Again, they're not going to say that publicly, of course, but I think internally that has to be where you look at when you look at the future.
Go in the bucket for Paige Buckers? Is there like a slogan we can come up with?
I like that.
Think harder. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Think harder. Adam, what's going on with the Commissioner's Cup? A little more WNBA talk here. What's happening with the game?
Yeah, apparently the Liberty told the league last December, like, hey, this Commissioner's Cup schedule you have, if we do end up hosting, we won't be able to play the game in our arena because the NBA draft is taking over. And then a couple weeks ago, when it looked like they definitely were hosting, they were like, hey, remember, we told you, not going to be able to do this.
Oh, boy.
And then all of a sudden the league's like, you can't do it. Let's just move it to Minnesota then. And they're like, no. We earned the right to host it. They also offered for their regular season game coming up to serve as the Commissioner's Cup because they're hosting them in a regularly scheduled game. And the league said, no, can't do that. Minnesota also turned that down. So they are going to move it to a smaller arena up in Elmont, I believe, for one game, just a one-off. It's fine. Nobody will really notice in the end. People will just watch it. But, like, this is just a bad look for the league, right?
Listen, this has been a problem in Los Angeles for years with the Sparks, where they've had playoff games being played at Long Beach State at the Pyramid, at USC, because there are events, and sometimes it's not even like a big event. You know, like sometimes it's, they are getting prepared for a concert like the next night or something like that. And so, you know, these are situations that I'm hoping will get resolved. It's still a problem because they are not the main tenant there and they're not going to hold down a date for them. The one thing that I do hope is that maybe their stronghold on those dates will be stronger now that you know, like, hey, listen, some of these games will sell out. You'll have 20,000 people there. So, like, but again, this has been a problem for years in Los Angeles where they have held big playoff games. Sometimes their season comes to an end at the Long Beach Pyramid. And again, that's an arena that holds 5,000 people. It's a joke.
There is a better solution, Arash.
What's the solution?
Just kick the Liberty out of the game and put the Fever in. Let Caitlin Clark play in the game. Why don't we just give her everything?
Exactly.
You sound like you're against
it. I totally agree. Just for the TV exposure.
Okay. Did you see the doozy? Adam was suggesting that he may do a column on the women's Olympic team on who to add to the team. You want to run this one by Arash?
I don't want to give away my column, but yeah, I think. Look, if we're basing the picks on popularity, how many people will watch the Olympics if Taylor Swift's on the team?
Oh, my God. Don't tell me you're going to do this column, man. Like, this is like the worst clickbait-type column that you could ever possibly do. Don't do this.
Don't
do this to yourself.
It's my actual feeling.
Don't do this to yourself.
And actually, now that Cam Brink's out, they need a center. Taylor's pretty tall. Put her on the 3-on-3 team.
Please don't be that guy. Don't do this.
Are we picking? Oh, man. So, by the way, you should be in L.A. right now.
What's happening?
He's got business in Hawaii.
No. Like, my phone will not stop going crazy about the Kendrick pop-up concert that's going on in L.A. How are you not there?
Listen, I love Kendrick. I'll go see him when he's performing. Like, listen, I love the Adam Flex on the pop-up concerts. This is, you know, listen, Kendrick won the battle. We are very proud of Kendrick that he won the battle with Drake, and his song is playing on loop constantly on Power 106 and all those stations out in Los Angeles.
Last one, you just gave Adam advice on that column about Taylor Swift on USA Women's Olympic team, and you said, don't do that to yourself. Would you have told Stephen A. Smith before he did his celeb walk the other night at the game that was sent out on social media? Would you tell him, don't do this to yourself?
Listen, this is not a Stephen A. Smith problem, although he's, you know, he is a problem. But, like, that, this is ESPN enabling this by, like, putting this on their social with a watermark, with a, like, nobody cares about this. And again, the reason that they do is that it's a joke. It looks like a train wreck. I mean, I love that people are saying, no, they do care. Like, look at the views. The views are tied to a train wreck. Again, like that doesn't make it a good thing. So, listen, it's why there is a big chasm between the coverage of Turner and ESPN. Problem, obviously, is Turner's not going to have the contract anymore. But, like, no one's doing this kind of junk on TNT. We're not getting the Charles Barkley, like, walk-in or Shaq walk-in where he's adjusting his glasses and taking a deep breath as he walks to the stage. I mean, come on. It's enough. It wasn't funny the first time that they did it, and now they do it before, like, every single game. It's ridiculous.
Best observation was by Arash, because I watched the video multiple times, but I never actually got through it. And then Arash mentioned that at one point late in the video, there's a guy at a vending machine trying to get probably some chips, and he looks over his shoulder, and he's like, what is happening right now?
What is this? What is this nonsense behind me?
It's so ridiculous.
Terrible.
All right, Arash, any water sports, aside from just swimming and kind of laughing at us as a show and laughing at Adam, any other – are you into water sports? What do you hike? What do you do when you're in Hawaii aside from, come on now, get out.
Yeah. Just swimming, just enjoying the nice breeze and having a Mai Tai or three by the water. This is great. Just living the drive. By the way, my friend over there, Mr. Hill, loves a nice margarita in Mexico by the water as well. So he's not opposed to the same, enjoyment of, being by the beach as me. He just chooses a different beach.
Yeah, and I don't refer to it as a work trip.
That's true.
And also, if the IRS is listening, I hope you're paying attention to this.
Oh boy.
I'm sure he's writing this off, and he's like, Mai Tai's on the beach. That's great.
What are we doing here?
Yeah,
hey,
work trip.
It's the best thing about being your own boss. I don't have to explain it to anybody but myself.
Exactly. CEO of the Sporting Tribune, Arash. Have a good time in Hawaii. We'll talk to you, buddy.
You guys are the best. Talk to you soon. Bye.
I'm so glad, Arash. He said something in the middle of the discussion, and we've talked about how the Hurley Lakers thing looks like a work. And he mentioned the media tour that Hurley did. Did you watch some of that?
Yeah.
Lebatard admitted a day or two later, I think we were just kind of gotten. We were part of the work.
Maybe.
They also, when he was talking about his wife, he talked about her crying over having to leave the area and go to L.A. I'm like, well, then this couldn't have been a discussion that was real from the beginning. Why would you even consider a job that your wife's going to have a friggin' breakdown over?
Maybe he wants her to cry. A little passive-aggressive subtleness?
I mean, I thought that was weird.
I make the decisions here, not your tears.
Wow. You're really taking up the Seinfeld thing here, huh?
Sure.
He wants more masculinity like we used to have.
Yeah, toxic masculinity. I'm all for it.
What is Hurley? I'm telling you, man, he's loved in that area of the country.
Here's $4 million in cash to wipe your tears with. We're going.
Wow, he's really good at this.
Yeah.
You're belligerent.
Yeah.
His wife's having a breakdown. Come on, Dan. You were never going.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Grab Bag time on Cofield and Company. Did you look up this dude who fired Monty Williams after one season with the Pistons, the new owner?
Wealthy gentleman, bought the Disney estate.
Yeah. Did you know what that was?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's crazy.
Yeah, 2016. He's another equity hedge fund guy. By the way, from Michigan State. That's at least two owners in the NBA who are zillionaires. Michigan State. Ishbia in Phoenix.
Sure.
But this guy, Tom Gores, yeah, the Disney estate. Is it worth, the house alone is worth $100 million?
Well, the property. Yeah.
But hold on.
Like all real estate.
Let me refocus.
All real estate, it's worth what somebody will pay for.
With these glasses. Oh, 30,000 square feet of interior space in this house. 10 bedrooms, 20 bathrooms. Main house and a guest house. Property also includes wine room, lounge, theater complex, spa pool, steam rooms. $65 million left on the table. Here you go, Monty. Goodbye.
If there's a jacuzzi, I'm out.
Ooh. You know what? The God, we forgot to bring. We might have to bring that up with. Do you want to relive it? You're not on tomorrow.
No,
Xavier Pope might have to bring it up with him. I did when I was in my pool this weekend. I went in by myself, and for a second I was like, am I going to get electrocuted? Because that horrible story in Mexico where a couple got electrocuted at a resort in a jacuzzi.
It's over.
Are you not going in? You're not going to go in water at all now?
No, because now I also am thinking, well, like open water, I guess, is probably, there's stuff in there, like sharks and stuff. So I don't like that.
Like sharks and
but
stuff.
But like, I was thinking, obviously a jacuzzi, yeah, I never thought about it, but yeah, it could be electrocuted because there's electric that has to heat up the pool, but pools that have heaters too.
But then you claim this happens all the time. I'd never heard of that.
Not all the time, but it's not. It's not like this is the first time it's ever happened. I don't know. I don't know how to fix it.
Boy, you lost it.
I'm terrified.
You're shaking.
I'm terrified.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I saw a screenshot of Landon Donovan, soccer legend. I mean, I think I know what happened. It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good at all.
Was that just a comb over gone bad? It blew.
Well, he got the treatment. He's getting his hair replaced, but they told him it wasn't going to show. They were like, "Hey, it's going to be fine. It'll look okay on camera for now while it grows in."
Didn't. Why was it all on the side of his head?
They took the hair from the back of his head out to put it on the top to grow it back in.
Okay.
And so then they combed it over, and then I think it was because they shot him from the angle that they shot him, and then it just looked terrible. Looked ridiculous.
And your point going back is, well, in this case, what, he got alerted? So he got alerted by a buddy,
yeah.
And you're still sticking with this theme that on guys' appearances, you need to not be afraid to tell someone.
Not appearances.
Changes.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
When you try to have something done,
okay.
If you're like going for something,
right.
And you're trying to, you know, you get like an operation or something, and it doesn't go right, if everybody just ignores the fact that it happened, I think you're telling the person that, you know, either you don't care or you're just not really close enough to feel that you're comfortable.
I feel like your premise is more built around people who get the hair jobs.
It is.
They go from kind of bald or really bald to the hair jobs. I don't know why. I think you're in a position of luxury. I don't think you can judge.
Oh.
You have a lot of hair. You're probably not going bald.
You never know.
You're not.
But it's just that if you tried something so extreme. I would say, like, I could dye my hair. I would hope if it looks ridiculous, people would be like, what is that?
I would say something.
Yeah.
I actually thought of this yesterday, because I got a comment about, well, I just looked in the mirror, honestly, and I was like, boy, this beard doesn't look good. And I've had it for, like, a long time, because I don't take care of it. I won't let it grow in. But then I was also thinking, I've toyed with this, I want to dye it. But I think you would tell me how, and I think it's going to look ridiculous, which I kind of want.
Sure. That's fair.
I'm not going to go like Hollywood Hogan, black beard, but I might do it. You might want, you, Griffin, he needs filler too. I don't know that any of us have good beards.
Fair.
I'm glad, see, I kind of just did, I didn't do it to you directly, but I don't know that. Can you grow like a really good beard? You know what got me thinking of this? The Tenacious D guys. Who's the other guy? Jack Black. And who was the other guy?
The other guy.
They did some award. And I was like, my God, their beards are unbelievable. How full they are. They're unreal. Mine looks terrible. And yours doesn't look great.
If I grew an actual beard, it would be Jack Black. Like,
it's time to color it.